welcome to the First and Ten podcast. That's a hot take. That's a scorching take.
Not afraid to be bold, though.
Thriving, surviving, and watching Rutgers football.
There's nothing to respect about Rutgers.
You know what? It's pain, but we look good while we do it, man.
What's going on, guys? Welcome back to another episode of the First and Ten. Today, it's just me, Reed, no Griffin or Patrick with me, and I'm starting a new segment. This is something that'll probably be episodes with just me, and then Patrick and Griffin will probably do their own episodes, and we'll post those on Instagram. Maybe do it as a bonus episode on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, etc. We'll see, but today is the first ever First and Ten film session. Basically what this is, hopefully we'll do a lot more of these and this will become a recurring segment on the First and Ten. Maybe we'll incorporate them into full major episodes, maybe we'll keep them their own separate segment. We will see, only time will tell. But basically, we're watching film, basically giving you guys a scouting report of what we see when we look at the tape of some of these players. Sometimes it's going to be players with experience being starters in the Big Ten. Sometimes it's going to be guys who are going to be filling in starting roles any upcoming season or sometime in the near future. So today, I'm going to be going with the latter, a guy who's going to be expected to be Michigan's starting quarterback next season. I'm talking about Dylan McCaffrey, and I'm just going to give you guys a little background on Dylan McCaffrey. I chose him just because he was interesting to me, just because he was the backup the last couple seasons behind Shea Patterson, the guy that our show as a whole is not very high on, but I've heard good things, I've heard bad things about him. I wanted to watch the film, get my own take. And that's going to influence how I think Michigan's going to do this season. So that's why I was interested. I was really eager in choosing McCaffrey. So if you're wondering, he is Christian McCaffrey's brother. He's a 6'5", 220-pound junior quarterback for the Wolverines. As I said earlier, he was one of Shea Patterson's backups for the 2018 and 2019 seasons. And he is expected to take over the starting role for the Wolverines this upcoming season, although that has not been guaranteed. But it is just expected among college football analysts and fans and all of that. So, although most of McCaffrey's action at the FBS level came from the ends of blowouts, so it's hard to sort of get meaningful tape of those games, he did get some meaningful snaps against on the road against a then-playoff team in Notre Dame in 2018. That was his freshman season. I forget how he got into that game. I don't know if Shea Patterson was hurt, because it was still a close game. It was 24-10 when he got in the game, so it certainly wasn't it's a blowout, we'll put the backups in scenario. But either way, he's considered a dual-threat quarterback who is expected to have a breakout season in 2020 by some people. So, first of all, I'm just going to get into breaking down the pros and cons. By the way, this isn't going to be a very long episode, just a few minutes, but pros, one of the first things you see when you notice McCaffrey is, like I said, he's a dual-threat quarterback. He's got a lot of elusiveness, and he has an ability to use his speed to his advantage. He creates more time for himself to find an open receiver by moving out of the pocket and oftentimes scrambling. McCaffrey deals with pressure from the defensive line better than his predecessor, often escaping the pocket for pickups of 1 to maybe 3 yards. He's consistently able to pass for pickups of 5 to 10 yards and rarely throws short-range incompletions. So that is definitely a huge plus for Michigan. As you do need consistency in that short passing game if you want to have a successful team, no matter who you are. This is mainly due to his ability to get the ball to his receivers quickly. He leaves very little time for other teams' defensive lines or linebackers to get to him before getting a pass off. And I don't want to sort of get too ahead of myself, but his ability to get rid of those passes quickly, it's sort of like a downgraded version of Tom Brady or Drew Brees, the way he just snaps the ball, he scans the field really quickly, he's got good vision, he just instantly gets that ball off. So those are definitely some big pros. That's what you want to see from a guy who's going to be taking over that Michigan offense next season, you know, a big program. You want to see a guy who can have success. And I think, put it in the Michigan system, he can do pretty well. He's got some tools. Definitely has that McCaffrey speed that you see in his brother Christian. So, you know, that's definitely some pros, but like any quarterback, there are cons. And watching film with some of these guys, it's hard to find cons because a lot of the clips you'll see, a lot of the first clips I saw of McCaffrey were against Middle Tennessee State and Western Michigan and even Maryland. So it's hard to get meaningful clips there because you can't really see their flaws. But I saw a few of these in the tape against Maryland. He showed a little bit of weakness, and then against Notre Dame too. Notre Dame definitely was a tough team for him to go against his freshman season. So they sort of exposed some of his flaws. But so a few of his cons here, I'll say his speed and elusiveness, although that's a good quality to have, it does come with a tendency to throw the ball on the run. And this can change in the future, but he has struggled in the past with accuracy while throwing on the run. He's not one of those Patrick Mahomes kind of guys who's going to scramble the ball and then just throw a perfect dart pass and hit the guy right in the hands. That's just not who he is, at least not right now. He's also typically inaccurate when throwing deep passes, which is one of the elements that set Patterson apart from him in the last two seasons. Because I remember I was talking to Patrick about this. He's like, well, Reed, you know, if you're so high on McCaffrey, why wasn't he starting against Patterson? And, I mean, one of the answers to that is just that Jim Harbaugh is kind of a numbskull. And you can't really trust him on anything. I wouldn't really say he's the smartest guy in the football world. But another thing is just Shea Patterson is able to make deep passes and hit his receivers like Donovan Peoples-Jones and Nico Collins. And, you know, I've been thinking about this. Unless he fixes this over the offseason, he will likely have trouble connecting with one of Michigan's biggest offensive weapons, which is, like I just mentioned, Nico Collins. You know, back to the whole thing about how he gets rid of the ball quickly. Definitely a good quality, but sometimes his quick releases do cause him to make bad snap decisions. He's yet to throw an interception in his career, but he's definitely had a few drop picks. And, you know, I think with that inaccuracy from time to time, if he goes against some of these top DBs, especially, you know, you think about Ohio State, Illinois has had a good secondary lately. You know, he goes against some of these top DBs, and especially like you know, if they were to face a prestigious team in a bowl game. I don't want to get too ahead of myself and say LSU, but I think LSU could be in a Michigan-caliber bowl game next season because I think they'll regress. That's a conversation for another episode. Either way, McCaffrey goes against some top DBs. I don't think he has a lot of success. So, overall, McCaffrey, I think he'll be able to lead Michigan to a similar record to what they had last season, but he doesn't quite have what it takes to defeat high-profile opponents such as Penn State, Ohio State, or, like I said, a potentially prestigious big bowl game opposition. So with a quarterback who can run and pass successfully, Michigan shouldn't have very much trouble with conference opponents like Michigan State, Maryland, or even Indiana, who's going to be good in this season. By the way, Michigan actually has a pretty difficult schedule. I was looking at it. There's not really any, you know, you got Rutgers, you got your Maryland, you got Michigan State. Other than that, not very many clear-cut wins. Even their out-of-conference schedule, they have Washington on the road, which isn't really a guarantee of anything. So, you know, I think he'll be able to get it done against some of these weaker Big Ten East opponents. But to get a victory against a top 10 or top 25 competition, you're going to have to be able to utilize the playmaking ability of Collins and Giles Jackson, who's he was a freshman last season. He had a pretty good season. Reminded me of Garrett Wilson and Chris Olave's breakout freshman seasons. But if you're not going to be able to utilize these guys facing these elite defensive backs, you're not going to be able to win these games. So I think Michigan goes about 9-3 like they did last season. Like I said, they take care of business against the lesser opponents, but they're not going to be able to pull the rabbit out of the hat when you face teams like Ohio State, Penn State, etc. So that's my take. That's my scouting report on Dylan McCaffrey. That's what I think of him as the next starting quarterback of Michigan. I hope you guys like this. If you want to hear more episodes like this, just let us know. Let us know in the comments, DM us, whatever you want to do. Get that across to us. We'll keep making these short podcast episodes, breaking down film of some of these players. And hopefully I'll be able to get some video clips of McCaffrey on the Instagram to go along with this. But that's been another episode of the First 10. Hope you enjoyed it, like I said. Leave a like, leave a comment, and all that. But have a great day.